Hello, everyone. This is Eugene Starks, NAHU president. Welcome to The Jump Off, where we take a big leap into everything leadership and NAHU. Hey, hello, everyone. This is Eugene Starks, NAHU president, here today with the Jump Off podcast. Today, as our guest, we're going to jump off into a conversation with Kelly Fristo, NAHU president-elect. Today, we're also missing our favorite co-host, Emma Fox, but we've got our second favorite co-host, Dan Parker, who's on staff. So, Dan, how's it going today?
It's going great. Quite busy here at the NAHU office. Obviously, we are recording this ahead of Capitol Conference, so we're in full CapCon mode here, but otherwise doing really good.
We're really just a few days, a little over a week away from Capitol Conference. So by the time this airs, it will be post-Capitol Conference. But Kelly and I spent a lot of time at the board level and executive committee level making a lot of decisions about what's going to go down at Capitol Conference. So Kelly, how are you today? How are things in Wichita Falls, Texas?
Well, they are as good as they can be. We're supposed to be getting some weather this evening, so I'm glad we're getting this done before we have weather that could affect some technical issues and whatnot. So, yeah, things are going well in Wichita Falls, Texas.
Good, good. Well, I know you're in a great location, a beautiful part of the state. I got a little bit better than you, but we're sort of in the middle of nowhere, right? So anytime we want to go somewhere, it takes a little bit of an effort.
We're the epitome of the definition of rural. You looked up rural in the dictionary, there'd be a picture of Wichita Falls right there.
So, yeah, and I know we're not, since I'm in the capital city of our state, Mississippi, the city itself, of course, is not rural, but I really can't get anywhere. I always say I can go anywhere in the world I want, as long as I'm willing to go through Atlanta. So, and you're kind of like that, getting through Dallas before you can reach the world.
Exactly.
That's one of the travails we go through as we head off to CapCon, always navigating the airport stuff. But look, great to have you here today, Kelly. I know you, like me, have been a member for a long time. You've served in a number of different roles. We know each other pretty well. There's probably some listeners on the podcast that really don't understand. They may recognize that you're president-elect and about to succeed me as NAHU president, but maybe don't have an appreciation for your history with NAHU. Do you mind sharing a little bit about how you got engaged?
Sure. You know, I got in the interns business back in 1991. I was on track in college back then to become a pharmacist. That's what my study was in college. And turns out my grades just weren't good enough to get into pharmacy school. Thank goodness, right? Because that whole industry has got its own set of problems. But anyway, I answered an ad in the local newspaper. And it basically, the ad said, if you can survive on $2,000 a month, then come for this job interview. It was a sales position. And come to find out what it was a sales position, selling cancer insurance and heart attack and stroke insurance, accident insurance down the street, door to door. And the job interview basically consisted of memorizing a sales script, a one-page sales script. So this guy gave me a sales script, said, go home, memorize this, come back tomorrow and recite this sales script, and we'll decide whether or not we're going to hire you. And I had a baby that was on the way. I just got married. And at the time, I was working as a pharmacy technician at a hospital, making about $7.25 an hour. And that job just wasn't going to cut it, raising a family. So I had to make some decisions to do better. And I thought I had the gift of gab and the little bit of sales skill in me. So I went ahead and decided to move forward with this job. They hired me, sent me to school for about a week, set me out with the sales team selling cancer insurance door to door. And in that world of selling cancer insurance, the way they wanted me to sell cancer insurance, I just thought, surely this isn't the way this is done. And so at that time, I started venturing out after about 90 days of selling cancer insurance. And I ended up going to work at Metropolitan Life there in Lubbock, Texas, as a career sales rep for that company, did their training. And again, I'm still pretty young at this point. I'm like 25 years old, and MetLife wanted me to go out every day and, you know, bring in a estate planning case with millions of dollars of life insurance. And that just wasn't happening for me. To make this long story short, I was a really slow starter in this business. If it wasn't for my good wife and her good nursing job, we would have starved to death. But yeah, just, you know, my mom was a nurse, my wife's a nurse, and I was going to be a pharmacist. I had a lot of science, biology, and chemistry background, which I think lend itself to me gravitating over into the health insurance world. So with MetLife, they had an opportunity that came open in Wichita Falls, Texas. And a lot of us had the opportunity to move with our manager to Wichita Falls, Texas, and take over a very large block of business with MetLife. And so we decided at that time that we would move and be closer to my wife's parents in the Dallas area. And it's at that time, shortly after we moved here, that I met Jackie Spraggins, who was the local chapter membership chair and president and a past state president for TAHU, Texas Association of Health Underwriters at that time. And she asked me to join Health Underwriters. And then shortly after that, be on the board of directors. And so I blame her for this journey. Yeah. And her and I are good friends to this day. I just want to make sure I give her credit. But that started the process of me getting into leadership at the local chapter level and then at the state chapter level. And I just fell in love with this association because it became the base and the knowledge that where I learned how to better serve my clients, how to be a better agent, how to be better informed, and all the educational professional development that grew me through those years to set me on the path that I'm on now.
And, you know, I mean, that is really so similar to my story. And my wife wasn't a high income earner. In fact, she was a no income earner when I opened my business because she'd stayed home with her kids.
Yeah.
When I walked in and told her I left, you know, the company I was working for, which was a PPO network. And I said, I'm going to open my own agency. She said, well, one of us needs to get a paycheck. So I'm going back to work. So, you know, so she went back to teaching. So very similar. My wife helped carry me through the early years of getting started in this business. And like you, I met people in NAHU, Karen Martin, who was a carrier rep for Blue Cross and invited me into it. And one of the points I really want to stress, Kelly, is for guys like you and me that are these small producers, everything I learned that built my skills and sharpened my skills was what I learned through NAHU. There were no, I mean, we've got a lot more sophisticated programs out there for producers that were not around when you and I were coming up learning this business. But even to this day, now the sophistication of our NAHU education and leadership programs, you know, continue to rise to strengthen us to compete in, you know, what's become a very challenging field.
Yeah, you know, when someone asked me the question, what does NAHU do well? And a few things come to mind. The friendships that I have, the relationships that I have with people who really are my best friends all across this country, who technically are, I guess, are my competitors. We could come into a situation where we find ourselves as competitors, but they are my best friends in this business. And they're supportive. We're supportive of each other. It's like a big family. So that's one thing we do well. We create those connections all across the country with just members and agents and people that are in our profession. And the other thing that I think that we do really well is our professional development, because again, I go back to the things that I learned that set me on this path are things that I learned by attending the local chapter meetings, getting CE, the knowledge that I had that really helps me to this day win or keep a client. And then lastly, our legislative advocacy. I fell in love with the legislative advocacy when I found out the member, Kelly Fristo, has an opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. and meet people like, you know, Ted Cruz or Mac Thornberry or Dr. Ronnie Jackson and develop relationships with those people and try to have influence with them. And also at the state level, meeting our legislators at the state level. And actually, I've got their cell phone numbers now. I can call them up. They'll take my call. The non-member Kelly Fristo would have never had the opportunity to meet and get to know legislators and have influence on what it is I do for a living and the ability to help change what I do for my clients in their best interest.
Right. And, you know, and again, that just rings so true as you share that. So as we record this is Wednesday, a little over a week away from heading to DC for Capitol Conference. on Monday, I was invited to a meeting at the Lieutenant Governor's office at the state capitol, because there's a piece of legislation going through on pharmacy that will drive up the cost of pharmacy. It's something that the local pharmacy association is pushing to increase their admin fees, or dispensing fees. I mean, increasing them by 1,000%. Mm-hmm. You know, we estimated the impact would be about $1.5 million across the insured state of Mississippi. But because of my engagement with NHU, I got invited to that meeting. Then that same day, I went to the Rotary Club and heard one of our congressmen, Benny Thompson from Jackson, Mississippi area, talk on what's going on in D.C. So he presented at the Rotary Club, and I got to talk to him after it and said, we're going to see you in D.C. in about a week and a half. And then the next day I'm at lunch, and our other congressman from this area, Michael Guest, was having lunch where I walked in to have lunch with a client and was able to say hello to him. And these people know me because of the work that I've done through NHU, getting involved in the local chapter, then getting involved in leadership, getting involved at the state level in leadership. So it's a tremendous opportunity that I would have never had if it weren't for being a member of NAHU. But let me up the stakes on you a little bit, Kelly Fristo. You and I served on the HUPAC board together. So that's really probably where you and I first started working closely together and getting to know one another. And it's very much a source of pride for me, but while you were on that board, and actually Tom Wilson succeeded you as a Region 6 representative for HUPAC board, but during that time, we really reinvented and re-engineered how HUPAC works. And we're still seeing the benefit of that today because our percentage of participation continues to grow and our dollars continue to grow. And you were part of that. I remember I finished serving on the NHU board, and I was in my year as immediate past chairman. And I told you, and I want to say it was at the meeting in, was it New Mexico, Albuquerque, at the annual meeting in Albuquerque. And I walked up to you and I said, Kelly, I think I'm going to run for NHU secretary. And then you know what you said to me? Do you remember what you said to me?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot, because I might have said something like, well, why the hell would you want to do something like that?
That's exactly what you said. Yeah, in the moment, I have to say I was taken back. It's like, expect Kelly to be a cheerleader. And I'm like, yeah, go on. You know, you did a great job. And you really did say, why in the hell would you want to do something like that? But you went on to enumerate all of the shortcomings that we were experiencing. We were really beginning a hard struggle at that time that probably you even saw more clearly than me in that moment. I took that as I walked away. I took that and I thought about that. And, you know, what I processed that as was, why are you going to do that? Meaning, this is not a parade. This is not a coronation. We've got an association that is going to take some serious work. Are you up for that?
Yeah. I mean, that's, and I do remember having that conversation, because I hate to admit it, but a lot of organizations find themselves in a status quo movement. The more you get into the status quo, the harder it is to break out of that. A lot of people don't know it, but they invest a lot of time and energy in maintaining the status quo because it's the easy thing to do. Things are changing. They're changing in our businesses. They're changing in our industry. You know, the foundation of our industry really was moved out from underneath us with the ACA, implementation of ACA. And we're trying to go back now and kind of find that cornerstone that we can rebuild on and rebuild our industry really from the ground up. And how do we do that? How do we, you know, we talk about our transparency and compensation, and we're pioneering what that looks like. We have some say-so. We have a seat at the table. We're legislatively involved in what that's going to look like. And again, we're pioneers and we're rebuilding. And what that looks like is still yet to be determined, but because it's constantly changing. But we have the ability and opportunities to really have another influence on how this looks and solutions going forward. And we're starting to see that. We're moving. Unfortunately, I do think, too, the nature of our association and how we meet and how we have governance, there's a slower pace. Things don't happen overnight.
Right.
We're not making these changes overnight, but a lot of thoughts going into it. You know, we've got a lot of things, and you'll, I'm sure, continue between now and the end of your presidency We've got a lot of things that we're working on. Our strategic plan is massive. I believe that there's not been anything like strategic plan that we've done in the history of our association.
Right. And it's serving to reshape our direction.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, going back to that conversation, so I remember thinking when then you later announced that, which was the year after me, you know, you announced that you were going to run for NHU secretary. And I knew when you said you were going to do that, that it was something you had not considered lightly, that you had actually considered very seriously, because you'd already challenged me to think through seriously, why would I do that? But what was it that motivated you? Because there's a big difference from being a leader at the state and local level to jumping onto the executive committee.
There is. I mean, it wasn't a decision that came easily, because there is an amazing sacrifice of time.
Yeah.
And I'm still in the place of trying to grow my small agency here in Wichita Falls, Texas. And anything that I involve myself in that takes time away from that means that my efforts aren't going to be growing my agency as fast as what I could have, right? I mean, that's just sacrifice of time. But I'm willing to commit that, because when future leaders 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now of NAHU look back on these times, I want them to remember that what we did made a huge difference going forward, that we are, you know, maybe we're the ones that get to wear that t-shirt that says, hey, we fixed healthcare. I did that. I want to wear that t-shirt.
Right. I agree with you. And I think it was Mark Twain that said, had I been around at the beginning of the world, I'd have had a few helpful suggestions. You know, which seems tongue-in-cheek and very crass thing to say. But I've been around talking to members around the country, I tell them we're at the beginning of a new healthcare delivery model, and we have the opportunity to shape what that looks like. So I just knew, based on our conversations, that's why you were stepping into it. And because I know it's particularly for smaller agency owners like us, it's a big sacrifice.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit, you know, I only have a few months left being president. Next year, this will be Kelly Fristo's president of the podcast. I don't know what you'll call it. I named this one the jump off, because I just think, as you and I have done, we just kind of jumped off into this leadership thing. And you know, we kind of get into it, and then we figure out, you know, how deep is the water and how cold and what do we need to do to tread water, right?
Yeah.
We've begun really planning and transitioning for you to step in. What are you seeing? What are you wanting to carry forward? What are you wanting to speed up? What are you wanting to say, hey, we don't need to do?
It's a good question. And, you know, there's not a single answer. It's really going to be about the teamwork that we've started. We have a history where presidents created a theme for their year. Nothing wrong with that. It's always good to have a theme and have goals out there. But the goals have been set. What I want to do is continue that teamwork that we have to get these goals reached. And I have not thought about a theme. I don't know that I want a theme. I just want us to continue to work hard and produce results. I'm not a smart man. I grew up in a really small town. I'm really countrified, or I say that I'm countrified. I just want to keep it simple and just continue to work hard and chip away, create more common sense solutions. You know, we've got some irons in the fire when it comes to the work that we're doing that could help lead to a rebrand of our association with the possibility of a name change. We're looking at that right now. I'm excited about that. There was a time that I wasn't excited about that, but I think it's a timing thing. And I think we are in a place with our industry where a name change and a rebrand of what really we do is going to suit us very well. We've got to be very careful how we roll that out, because when NALU, the National Association of Life Underwriters, changed its name in Nashville, Tennessee, many years ago to NAFA, I was there. In fact, I was a delegate with my NAFA chapter, and I was able to vote for that. I think it was time back then. But there were some hurdles that they had to overcome that I don't know that they were able to have forethought to know what that would look like for them. There were some setbacks. they've been able to overcome that. And we've got to be very intentional and very careful how we roll that out, that because we do have a brand right now that we are recognized there in Washington, D.C. with legislators. But I think if we do the right research and put the right people on the right committee, that we can come up with a really good name that really reflects what we do, that resonates, and it will be a seamless transition, and then we can move forward from there. But a lot of work's going to go into that.
It's a very good point. I think what that is reflective of is, you know, as a leadership team now, including the staff, we're willing to look very introspectively to see if we're in the right place, doing the right thing. Do we need some rebranding? I mean, I just tell you, I know for my business, we have been in a process of rebranding and shaping a new message as to how we go out to our clients and prospective clients, because my value proposition when I opened my own business in 2000 was basically just to shop the markets and give them the most competitive rate. Well, if that's all we're doing now, we're grossly underserving our client. There's so much more engagement on our part. So I think that's what we're seeing with NAHU. It's not a simple field underwriting kind of exercise back in the day when we were founded. It's much more complex. The work that we're doing now at the national level, at the state level, just like me spending time at the Capitol Monday morning, you know, when I could have been calling on clients.
Sure. You know, our professional development is going to continue to evolve because of our industry involvement. Every state has some different aspects of self-insured, fully insured, ancillary products, Medicare products. It seems like our industry is becoming more siloed, more specialized, you know, where I do Medicare products and, you know, your specialty is in that self-funded world because of your role with your company. But I also do self-funding. I also do fully insured. I also do micro groups. I also do non-insurance products. And so the day of being everything to everybody is probably over with. And we've started specializing. And we've, as at NAHU, our professional development tracks have become more specialized. So I believe that as those things evolve, we're going to continue to be that educational resource for our members to, again, help them be better equipped from a knowledge perspective, from a marketing perspective, and that way they can serve their clients better.
Yeah. And I think, you know, going back to really where the conversation started is these people that technically could be our competitors have often been our mentors, our sounding board. And, you know, now in the complex employee benefits, consulting, advisement environment you're describing, we're actually creating more opportunities for us to collaborate and not compete. I mean, I do a lot of that. I collaborate with a lot of brokers around the country because of the expertise we bring in the self-funding arena.
Sure.
So I think it actually, our association really tees us up to be more successful on this complex market where we readily know who are the people that have an area of expertise that you don't have.
I think we've got to be able to stay very flexible in our progression as an association, because when you think about it, when you ran for secretary, that would eventually get you to the point where you are now president of the association, you had no idea what legislative agenda you would be facing while you were president. You didn't know what administration, you didn't know that you would be having to work with the Biden administration whenever you ran. Right. And so whenever you run for this position as secretary that would eventually take you to be potentially the president of this organization, you've got to be able to set yourself in a place to deal with that administration and that legislative agenda when you get to be president, as you continue to progress through the chairs of this organization. And that's where things can be tough, because you just don't know what's going to happen on your watch.
Kind of goes back to, you know, why would I want to do this, or why would you want to do this? And it's certainly because we see an opportunity and a need and a challenge. And we definitely, even as we made the decision, really didn't know entirely what we were getting into, or, you know, what it would look like at this point as we go through the roles of leadership. And it's interesting in these conversations, and Dan, you've been pretty quiet, but you've listened to all these conversations. But wouldn't you say particularly the last three or four conversations jump off pretty deep into the complexities of the work that we're doing these days?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also interesting because, you know, from my perspective, obviously, I mean, I'm an NAHU staff member, but I haven't been on for very long. I was an intern briefly before I came on, but I've only been on staff for about 3 years, give or take a few months. And you're talking about how, you know, the status quo and the NAHU has been changing, especially with presidencies of Pat, of Dane, and now you, and then Kelly. I see, even in the short time I've been with NAHU, how much things have changed, how things are running. Like, I've seen it even in real time, in the small time that I've been here. So it's slow, but it's happening in real time. I'm definitely seeing evidence of it. And then the industry, yes, certainly we've gone into the complexities of the industry because it really is complex. A former president said, who knew healthcare was so complicated, right? So, yeah, absolutely. And it's been very interesting.
People have joked around that. And, you know, Warren Buffett and Jeff Bezos and those guys sitting around and say, hey, why don't we get into the healthcare world and fix healthcare? And they're like, okay, yeah, let's do that. Fast forward a few years later, they're like, hey, you know, that healthcare thing, it's kind of complicated. How about we build a rocket and go to space? Do something a little easier, right?
It's going to be easier.
Yeah, I remember that was the big news. They were going to shake up the healthcare industry. Then he sort of just fizzled out.
Then they call you up and said, hey, Kelly, we're just going to leave it with you and NAHU to figure it out. Well, look, on that note, as we get a little lighter into the conversation, we do want to bring it in for a landing because people won't listen too long, even if it's you and me, Kelly. That's a shocker, I know. You know, I like to wrap up and say, Kelly, tell me something good. What's going on? Tell me something good with Kelly, his family, or his business. Tell me something good.
Well, as you know, recently I had a little misfortune where I had my vehicle stolen.
Very nice.
That in and of itself isn't good, but you know, I'm going to turn it into something good because it looks like I'm going to be able to have the insurance company pay me, write me a check for the vehicle that I had insured. I'm just hoping that they're going to pay me enough, create an opportunity, something good for me to be able to go get a new car. So I get there's any good in that. I'm gonna try to err on the side of considering the opportunity to go get a new car and not dwell on the fact that somebody stole my car.
We were both out in the conference in Phoenix with Emma and David, and we both got back to our respective airports, and I got my truck and drove home, and you walked out. Yours was gone.
You know, I wasn't attached to it that much. It's just a vehicle, but it's still an unfortunate event. But no, what's good, Eugene? I am healthy. My family is healthy. My kids are healthy. No greater joy than to know that my kids are in a really good place. Anybody that has kids that are all in a good place, you know that that is something that is just a joy in your life. And then the grandkids, I've got everybody close enough now geographically where we can spend time with the grandkids on any given weekend. And so I'm just in that phase of my life where I'm enjoying that sort of stuff. I love what I do. I love the clients that I work with. I love this organization, and I am so looking forward to continuing to take this bar that you have set, that you have raised high, Eugene, and raising it even higher and building upon your successes as leader and president of the organization as we continue to go forward.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and Kelly, and the confidence I have is that, you know, as I step out as president, such a strong leader coming behind me. And as I've said, you know, as I've spoken around the country, we built the foundation with HUPAC. And the year I was HUPAC chair, we set a record for fundraising. It was the highest record we'd ever set. And every year since being HUPAC chair, we've broken that record with each succeeding leader and team. And that's my confidence, looking at you, looking at Eric Kohlsdorf, looking at Alicia and Susan Ryder, that the foreseeable future, I see stronger leaders coming behind us. So my good news is my time's running out being president, and I've got some strong people behind me to step up. So I appreciate your time and commitment today for us to have this conversation. I appreciate what I know is the time and commitment you've been making and you will continue to make. And so thanks for being with us today. Everybody, we hope you have a great rest of your week at whatever point you're listening to this. And we just want to see you around. We want to see you involved. So good talking with you all.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, guys.